Can we thank again the worship team for
taking us somewhere?
Somebody said, we have enough worship teams to start 3 churches. I said, no, we don't. They're all staying here. Amen. How many of you are glad you're here this morning? Are you glad you're here? Ready to jump in? Who's ready to jump in? Who's ready to get a word from Jesus this morning? You ready? Ready to get a... It's funny. Kat said, we were down there during worship, and she said, wow, all the songs fit. And I said, well, if your message is about Jesus, I hope all the songs that we sing fit, right? So we're going to talk about something this morning that has been brewing in me for a while. This is the second time I'm sharing this message, first time here. First time was at Iglesia Esperanza in Salem. It was in mostly Spanish. Today it will be in English, I hope. So, and how many of you were here when my friends, the Mullets, were here? Brady and his father. Remember we had them come down front? How many of you were here that Sunday when we prayed for them? And I just wanted to give you a little update from them. It was really awesome. You know, what I didn't want to say when they were here is they are fresh out of Mennonite, like fresh out of Mennonite. And they just said, we know there's something more. How many of you know there's something more? How many of you know you don't have to be Mennonite to know there's something more? You could be a spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, whatever, and there's more. Wherever you are, there's always more, right? So I said I thought it was interesting as we ministered to them that I didn't plan it this way. It's just kind of the way it happened. But all 4 pastors actually poured into them and ministered to them. And the Lord gave me a word for them that not to worry about the money, that if God guides, God provides. If it's his will, he pays the bill. How many of you know, yeah, there was a time Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, what I say to one, I say to all. Or all y'all, that's what he'd say, right? If you hear a word given to somebody and you go, ooh, I like that. Don't be afraid to grab it and pull it into yourself. You know, you say, hey, I know you're saying that word to that person, but I need that word too. And then you're allowed to steal a word, right? Grab it. So anyway, we were praying, and what we didn't say was that building that they're purchasing is $400,000 for the property and all that. And they had a prophetic word given to them on Sunday when they were standing right down there. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the money. They had a meeting with 15 people. How many people were in the meeting? 15. And after they left the meeting, they had $176,000 to go toward the building. If God guides, he provides. If it's his will, you don't have to worry about that stuff. We do sometimes, but you don't have to. I believe that was the largest dollar offering that we've ever taken. Just the dollar offering was $1,500 that we poured into him. We gave him $2,000. As I said, we just need to bless their socks off. So you're probably going to see a bunch of them hanging around. They have a great youth group. You know, the one thing about Mennonite youth is they're very athletic, and they like to play volleyball, and they're very, very cool. So you might be seeing those guys. Anyway, hey, let's jump in. Pastor Pauline. I was talking to Pastor Pauline for about a half an hour today. Not today, 2 days ago. And she told me to tell you guys hello, and she loves you. We had a great,
great conversation. And how many of you know who Pastor Pauline is? How many of you don't know who I'm talking about? A couple of you, right? Anyway, she said to make sure, she goes, you're going to forget. And I said, I will not. So Pastor Pauline, if you're watching this, you heard me. I told him. Did I tell y'all? I said, yes, okay, good. So I am protected. Okay, here we go. Let's go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. I'm going to read from CSB because it's a good one. Let's see. Everybody see it? Let's read it together. You ready? With the outside voice, ready? Read with me. Ready? Let's go. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding as well. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother told him, they don't have any wine. What has this concern of yours to do with me, woman? Jesus asked. My hour has not yet come. Read. Do whatever. Let's whisper. His mother told the servants, go a little louder. Now, 6 stone water jars had been set there for the Jewish purification. Each contained how much? 20 or 30 gallons. What was the instructions? Fill the jars with water, Jesus told them. So they filled them how far? And with wasn't that a coffee commercial or something? Was it filled to the brim with the, I don't know what that was. There was some commercial just popped in my head. Then he said to them, now read, draw some water out and take it to the head waiter. And they did. When the head waiter tasted the water after it had become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. He told them, everyone sets out the fine wine first, then, after the people are drunk, the inferior. But you have kept the fine wine until when? Until when? Okay, read. Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee. What did he do? He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now, whenever you read scripture, how many of you know every word's important? You have to realize that the Bible is an Eastern book, and when you read it from a Western perspective, you could lose a lot of things. If you don't understand customs and, you know, things, why is this? Why this number? Why that? Right? In verse 1, there's a third day, right? That's not just a music group. That's third day. There's a reason for this. If you know who third day is, you're old. Okay. A Jewish wedding on the third day, which was a Tuesday, usually, because the third day was Tuesday, right, is traditionally considered auspicious because it's the third day of creation when the phrase, God saw that it was good, is 2 times in that scripture. So the Jews said, hey, if we're going to get married, this is good. This is good. Let's do it on the third day. So there's a reason, right? We get to verse 3. Houston, we have a problem. Mary says what? Jesus, we ran out of wine, right? And that's a big problem in Jewish tradition. Running out of wine at an ancient Jewish wedding was a major social, cultural, and symbolic disaster, representing a failure of hospitality and joy. Because weddings back then lasted several days, and it brought really heavy shame on the bridegroom and his family, often implying that they were ill-prepared for the guests or they were just poor, couldn't afford it. So you got to realize what's happening here. What was the problem? They ran out of wine, right? So verse 4, Jesus says what? He says, my hour or my time has not yet come. Okay? Jesus was emphasizing that his actions were governed by God the Father's timeline, not by the demand and requests of other people. So Mary looks to Jesus. I don't know. Some say that maybe she thought he had the ability to go buy wine or do something, or did she know something else? It says in Scripture, when Jesus was born, it said, and Mary pondered all these things in her heart. I know he could, but would he? Would he do it? Jesus, we ran out of wine. My time had not yet come. Why did Jesus say, my time has not yet come? He said that because he knew once the first miracle started, he's setting himself up for the crucifixion. Because then they're going to say, only God could do that. How many of you know only God could do miracles? How many of you know that Jesus is 100% God? Jesus is not 33.33% God. Jesus is 100% God, right? He was 100% man, 100% God on the earth. But everything he did on the earth, he did not as God, but he did as a man full of the Holy Spirit. What does that have to do with me? You're a human being full of the Spirit. Anybody God in here? Let's get that out of the way in case somebody thinks they're God. We want to clear that up. I know sometimes we act like we're not God, right? How many of you are full of the Holy Spirit? Do you know, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, these things that I do, you're going to do. Even greater things. Why? Because I'm leaving. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. How many of you know, Jesus was not omnipresent when he was on the earth. He was in one place at one time. How do we do something greater than resurrecting the dead? It's not that. It's that the Holy Spirit in me and Holy Spirit in you and Holy Spirit in the millions of, maybe billions of people on the earth right now, can do the work of Jesus all at the same time. How many of you know there's people enjoying the presence of God all over the world right now? I mean, they're experiencing things in God. Why? Because there are, when you get a Holy Spirit-filled person who's relying on Jesus to do what he did, and if you said the things you did, I'm going to do, I believe it. Now I'm going to go try it. Can you try it? Have you ever tried to do something that Jesus did? You know, he said, here's what you're supposed to do. Some people want to know what the will of God is for them. He said, go heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Go preach the gospel to every creature, to every nation, right? Whatever I told you, you tell them, right? But his time wasn't there yet, okay? So I'd like to suggest that Mary didn't see him do anything. And it sounded like he kind of reprimanded him. I had to be careful which version I used, because there's one version that starts out, Jesus says, woman. Be careful. He said that very respectfully, so I get it. My time hasn't come. And then Mary says something amazing to the attendants. What'd she say? Whatever he says to do, do it. And she leaves. Now, Jesus said, I only do what I hear my Father tell me to do, and I only do what I see my Father do. And I'd like to suggest he was thinking, you're not my Father. You're my mother, but you're not my Father. And I'd like to suggest, anytime it's not exactly in Scripture, I'd like to suggest that Mary went and prayed and said, Father, show him we need wine. Show him. Would you show him that we need it? Because not long after, he just said, my time had not yet come. He said, hey, go get these pots and fill them up, right? So I'd like to suggest she probably went and prayed and said, Father, do it. Father said, Jesus, go do it. And he said, okay, now my time has come. Here it starts, okay? Verse 5, Mary says, do whatever he tells you. That means total obedience and trust. Mary's instruction sets an example of complete, unhesitating obedience and reliance on Jesus. Even when the instructions might seem really strange, okay? How many of you have ever received instructions to do something from the Holy Spirit and it kind of didn't make sense? It was kind of almost weird, right? I see hands going up. I see heads bobbing. You know, I remember Pastor Don and Pauline had a call. Pastor Don got saved at a Baptist church in Karachi, Pakistan. God said, go to New Waterford, start a church. They're like, where is this place? We need to find this New Waterford. Because they lived in India. They lived all over the world. They came where you are now. Okay, and Pastor Don, they show up in New Waterford, Ohio. And you know what he said to Pauline? He said, this can't be the place. There's nothing here. This is farmland, right? And didn't make sense. Sometimes Jesus will have you do something. When you invite him in and say, Jesus, help me here. It might not make sense. How do you know if you're doing something that's actually God telling you to do it? Well, one way, I think, if it's bigger than you and it doesn't make sense, that means you can't do it. That means he has to do it through you. How many of you are ready for Jesus to do something through you that you can't do on your own? Do you have something you've been dealing with that this just isn't working? I don't know how this is going to work. You need Jesus to do that with you, right? Now check this out. Jesus, we ran out of wine. I know, I get it. Go get some water. He said, go get the most common substance on the planet, water, right? He wants to use common, sometimes seemingly insignificant, ordinary things to accomplish extraordinary things and do miracles with it. So he uses water, which is actually the base part for wine. You can't have wine without water because the grape has to get water in the ground. So it wasn't as strange as you might have thought at first, but he said, go get water, just plain old stuff, right? Turns it into something that would take an exponential amount of time to happen, right? An interesting thing is Jesus didn't, and this isn't my point, I'm unpacking something here so you can see the point. So, Jesus didn't touch the water with his finger. He could have. He didn't say, turn into wine. He didn't do that. The servants actually played a role in the miracle happening. What did it say? The dude that was in charge of the party goes, I don't know how this happened. And all the people, the guys that were carrying, you got to realize what happened. The guys that were carrying those water pots said, oh, we know what happened here. I would like to suggest at the wedding party, they didn't have a spigot there with water, so they had to take those pots, those ceremonial washing pots is what they were. They had to carry them, go get water, fill them up, and take the effort to bring it back. How many of you know, in some cases, in order to receive your miracle, there's something you have to do. You don't just sit back and say, okay, God, do it. You know, somebody, I'm working with a person who really needs to get a job. And I said, he said, you got to pray I get a job. I said, I'm praying. How many resumes did you send out? Well, I haven't done any yet. Well, I'm not going to pray anymore until you do a resume. So you need to do a resume, and we need to back our prayer with your efforts, because faith without works is dead, right? Okay, now watch this. So Bill Johnson says it like this. My responsibility is to obey, to surrender my heart, and to yield myself to the will of God. It is in the process of obedience that we gain understanding. You can't get the peace that passes understanding until you give up your right to understand. That's the foundation of the miracle. Now, I've read all this through. I've unpacked suitcases in this message with what I just told you. But here's something I've never saw until just recently. I want to tell you this first. There were 6 stone pots in verse 6, right? And I thought, and I studied this, and this is what I saw. Look at this. This represents the shift from the Jewish ceremonial purification. It says in that scripture, these pots were designed and there because of the Jewish purification process, which was this thing that they did. You know, it was like this religious thing. They had to wash their hands and do all that stuff, right? So it was a shift from the Jewish ceremonial purification to the new grace brought by Jesus. As stone vessels, which unlike clay did not hold impurity, they symbolized the old covenant. The verse says they were there for the Jewish purification ritual. However, filling them with wine symbolizes fulfillment, abundance, and joy, replacing the traditional rituals. By turning the water for cleansing into wine, Jesus demonstrates that he brings a new superior covenant of grace, replacing the old external rituals with, here's something. There was actually a prophetic shift. It wasn't just a bunch of people getting wine. He said, oh, out with the old, in with the new, right? So I know what this was designed. He used the very thing that was part of the ritual to invoke a new thing and new wine. Everybody say new wine. Then there was the now moment here. That statement emphasizes that the wait is over. The now refers to the dawning of salvation in the presence of Jesus. How many are you in here today in need of a now moment? You need something. You need something. You've been praying for something now. You need it to happen now. Notice in that verse, it doesn't say they saved the best wine for last. It says what? It says, why have you, the question he said was, why have you saved the best for now? Everybody say now. How many of you know the best that Jesus has for you is right now? It's not something you have to wait for, right? There's two reasons this happened. One, to reveal his glory, and two, that people would believe and become believers. That's why all the miracles happen. How many of you believe in miracles? Yeah. You know, I found that critics of miracles, signs, and wonders are oftentimes just powerless Christians who aren't willing to allow the Holy Spirit to empower them to do the things they criticize, or they deny and they become what's called a cessationist, right? They say that those gifts aren't available for us, right? Here's another quote from Bill Johnson. He says it this way. The doctrine of stating signs and wonders are no longer needed because we have the Bible was created by people who hadn't seen God's power and needed an explanation to justify their own powerless churches. Did you get that? Don't make excuses for not walking in power. Say, oh, you don't have to do all that. We don't need all that. Oh, no, you need the power. You can't function without two things, power and authority. The authority is in the name of Jesus. The power is in the Holy Spirit. You have to have both. You have to have power and authority. Now, check this out. I never saw this until recently. Verse 2. Let's look at verse 2. And Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Everybody say that. Jesus and his disciples were invited. My aha moment with this was that none of this would have happened if he wasn't invited. Now, I was telling Erica that. She's going to shoot me for talking about her. She's shaking her head, yes. I told her this during the women's conference. I said, hey, this is what I'm talking about. And she goes, when I said that statement, she said, ooh, that gave me chills. I said, ooh, let's see if it happens to everybody else on Sunday. Didn't I say that, Erica, right? Yeah, she's shaking her head. If Jesus wasn't invited, that would have been a disaster. How many of you know there's some things that happen in your life, there's some things that are going to happen in your life that if you don't invite Jesus up front, it could be a disaster. There could be some stuff happen. We need to invite Jesus into everything. How do we do that? You say, yeah, how many of you know some things in God are way more simple than it looks like on the outside? What's the process? Give me the formula for inviting Jesus. Are you ready? Here's the formula. Jesus, I invite you. Okay? If you want Kat and I to come to your house for dinner, you say, don't tell me, tell her. Say, Kat, I'm inviting you. She's sick in the head. Pray for me, church. Okay, so you say, I'm inviting you to dinner. Is that how it works? You come because of invitation. If they didn't invite Jesus, none of that would have happened. They would have had a problem. No miracle. Here's the thing. Do you realize that every miracle in Scripture started out as a problem? Why do we panic and freak out when we have problems? Anybody have problems? Are you thinking of six of them right now that you think I got a lot? Who has problems? Anybody have problems? Don't look at the person sitting next to you. They're not the problem. Do you have other external problems, right? Could it be that the problem that you're going through is just a setup for a divine miracle to happen once you invite Jesus? How many of you would like to see those problems turned into miracles? I'm not just saying words. You got a problem? You got a problem? If you have problems, don't raise one hand, raise two hands. Raise two hands. If you have problems, if you don't have problems, you don't keep your hands down. This is what you do. Raise your hands if you do this. Okay? If you're happy and you know it, raise your hands. If you're ready for a miracle, raise your hands. How many of you know this isn't? I'm not kidding. I really sense in the spirit right now God's about to do something. This is not words. This is not part of my message. It kind of is, I guess. Just say this. Say, Jesus, I invite you. I feel right now that there's some people that some of your issues were physical. It was a physical thing, especially in over here on this side. There's some physical things that were part of the problem. And Jesus said, you just invited me, so I'm about to do something. I'm doing it right now. I'm turning the water into wine for you. The wine is physical. It's a physical thing, and I'm doing it. I'm doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it. I just have to do what he said to do. Father, right now, let the healing power of Jesus flow into this woman right now. Give her everything she needs in the name of Jesus. Oh, pain free, pain free, pain free in the name of Jesus. Oh, what doctors couldn't do, the great physician does because she invited you in the name of Jesus. Ah, that's it. Yep, that's it right there. That's it. Yep. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What's the formula? Say it. Jesus, I invite you. I'd like to suggest that if you're having problems in your marriage, you might need to invite Jesus into your marriage. Here's the thing. They ran out of something, wine. I'd like to tell you today, church, whatever you run out of, Jesus is waiting right there to fill it. If you run out of joy, you say, Jesus, I invite you into this chaos. I invite you into my hurricane. Jesus, stop this wind. He'll fill you with joy. If you run out of saneness, anybody ever do that sometime? You go, it's probably why I don't have hair on the top or the sides or the back, or I'm losing. That Jesus, I invite you in. If you invite Jesus, whatever you have lack of will be brought to you. He may use the most ordinary thing to do an extraordinary thing with you, but you have to invite him, right? Now here's the thing. Jesus was invited while there was still wine. They didn't wait till they ran out of wine to invite Jesus. Don't wait until your problem gets so far to the bottom that the last resort is Jesus. Your first resort needs to be Jesus. If your first resort is Jesus, then you can go to bed going, thank you, Jesus, for a great day. It's a testimony. How many of you know a testimony is basically comments that set you up for the next miracle? You overcome by two things, the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And it's a setup. Look at somebody sitting next to you and say, God's setting you up for something big. Tell them that. Say, God's setting you up for something big. Ask them a question. Say, are you ready for a miracle? Ask them. If you do run out of something and you invited Jesus, I guarantee you whatever you ran out of will be replaced with a we save the best for now moment. Judy Mary, you're about ready to get this we've saved the best for now moment. There's an anointing coming to you that's going to empower you to do some things. Oh, you're not even close to being done. He's got so much ministry for you to do, so many people for you to touch, so many people for your spirit of hospitality to come upon. There's young girls that need the love of a mother, and you're a spiritual mother, and God's going to use you in a great way. We've saved the best for now. If you run out of money, invite Jesus. Now, he might have you do something. If you've run out of money and you say, Jesus, help me, he'll say, you haven't given me anything. Give me some. Not, give me something to work with. Give me some water. Give me, yeah. Moses, brother Mo is walking along there, and God says, hey, what's that in your hand? And Mo says, God bless you first, because he always said that when people sneeze. And he said, what's in your hand? He goes, a stick. God says, okay. All you got's a stick, I'm going to use it, but give me something to use. Give me something to use, right? Don't pray for God to help you with your finances if you don't tithe. That doesn't work. Okay? If you run out of love, invite Jesus. If you run out of stamina, if you're fearful or discouraged, or if you're weary, what's it say in Isaiah 40:31? It says this. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know it? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Say it one more time. Say it. Say, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. So if we wait on the Lord, we invite Jesus in. Somebody say, invite Jesus. It might not make the problem go away at first, but it will sure give you the power, the wisdom, and the hope to press onward and upward, which is our word for the year, right? What's Philippians 3:14 say? I press onward and upward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in who? In the guy I invited. There's another interesting scripture. I've never seen this before. just a couple days ago. So I added it. Now, you know, there's a part in the scripture where he's invited to a wedding. What do you do at a wedding? You eat, you drink, do all that stuff, right? And I get it. Then I see this scripture. This is not the scripture. I don't want somebody saying, what version is that thing in? Is that in the Jehovah's Witness Bible? Could be in the Message. It says some wonky stuff. Okay, let's see. I'm just going to read this to you. A man and his wife are awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning by a loud pounding on the door. The man gets up and goes to the door, where a drunken stranger standing in the pouring rain is asking for a push. The husband says, not a chance. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He slams the door, returns to bed. Who is that? Asked his wife. Just some drunk guy asking for a push, he answers. Did you help him? No, I did not. It's 3 in the morning, and it's pouring rain out. His wife says, well, honey, you have a short memory. Can't you remember about 3 months ago when we broke down and those two guys helped us? I think you should help him, and you should be ashamed of yourself. The man does as he's told. He gets dressed, goes out in the pounding rain. He calls out in the dark, hey, man, are you still here? The drunk mumbles, yeah, I'm still here. Do you still need a push? Yes, please, comes a reply from the dark. The husband asks the drunk, where are you? The drunk responds, over here on the swing. Sometimes you have to push. Somebody said, push is pray until something happens. Invite Jesus in until something happens. If you invite Jesus in, and here's the scripture. This is a different kind of knock from a different person. Revelation 3:20 says this in King Jimmy. We'll read it in King Jimmy here. He says it this way. 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Check this out. It says, I stand at the door and knock. That's what we think. Then he says, if any man hears my voice, wait a minute, I thought I'd hear a knock. How many of you realize in this text that that is not a knock made by somebody's hand, but it's a knock brought to you by the voice of a person named Jesus. You guys are too young. This song just popped in my head. There was a song, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, help me, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. He's knocking. Jesus is knocking. But it's not a physical, it's a voice. He's saying, would you invite me? And if you do it, the scripture says, you'll sup with me and I'll sup with you. It doesn't mean he's planning a dinner for you necessarily. But what it does imply is an intimate connection that you don't have. You know, if you go to what's my new favorite restaurant, Bobby? Kebab House. Have you guys been to Kebab House? Oh my word, that place is great. Strange thing about Kebab House is you never know how much your bill's going to be when you're done eating there, if you've been there, but they just bring you stuff and you think it's free, but they're charging you. I got to be friends with the owner's son. They're great people. How many of you know, you don't just If you're going to go to dinner with someone, you don't go unless you're invited. Right? Is that true? Is that true? If you don't believe me, just pick some random restaurant and go into the restaurant and just randomly sit down next to somebody and say, "Hey, guess what?" Well, if I said it to him, he's a sanguine. He'd say, "Come on in. I can't use him. He'd say, "Come on in." Say, "Hey, I'm going to eat dinner with you. You don't even know my name, but and what would this man's response be? He'd be, I'm going to sup with you, and you're going to sup with me." And he'll say, "Well, I got a question. What's sup with you? What's up with you? What you? Sorry, that just popped in my head." He knows my name, but you don't end this story. Okay. You don't do that. That's when Jesus says, "You invite me in, I want to sup with you, and you with me. I want to have this intimate transaction with you, where it's an intimate encounter because you invited me." Invite Jesus into your marriage. When you do it, in the morning, when you wake up, from the moment that I wake up, try this week. This is homework, okay? Homework. Try it this week. Wake up in the morning, say, "Jesus, I invite you into my day because I know I'm going to need you at some point. I invite you into this." If you have a work, invite him into your work. Maybe you're a pastor and you're listening to this online. And I'm not saying this critically or anything, but maybe you need to invite Jesus into your service at church. I heard one guy say, it's interesting that it says he stands at the door and knocks, which would imply that the door's locked or he could have got in. How many church doors are locked and Jesus can't even get in if he wanted to? He could just walk in, but, you know, he'd walk through the door, but... Invite Jesus into your life. He wants to be intimately involved in every area, especially the problem areas. Why? Because he knows that you're supposed to count it all joy. How in the world do you count it all joy when you fall into all these problems? Because I know there could be a miracle 2 inches on the other side of my problem. How do you fix that? Invite Jesus. If you're in the middle of an argument, you know, Jesus, just stop. You know, it takes two to argue. So if you want to stop an argument and somebody's screaming at you, I'm not responsible for you if you do this. I'm just saying, I'm suggesting you do this. Just stop and say, "Jesus, we invite you right now." You know, it's kind of hard to argue and be upset when you're talking to Jesus. It's hard for you to really get bummed out if you talk about Jesus. Say, "Jesus, I invite you in. I invite you in." I was talking to, I don't know why I'm standing here. I'm just hanging out. Is that okay? I was talking to one of my pastor friends who I connected with last year in D.C. He's a pastor in Karachi, Pakistan. I said, "Hey, this is what I'm talking about in the morning. Tell me something about it." He's a great, great man. I had dinner with him this last trip. He came to D.C. to meet with me. That's why one of the main reasons he was there. And then he had a meeting, but he came a day early so we could connect. He said, "Let me tell you something about why the wine is important." He said, "You have to put new wine in new wineskins because wine expands. And if you put new wine in an old wineskin, it will not only burst the wineskin, but the wine will fall out. So you basically ruin the wine and the wineskin." That's what he told me to tell you guys. There's a song that says, "In the crushing and the pressing, you're making new wine." How do you get new wine? Invite Jesus. say, Jesus, I invite you. Let's stand. Can we stand? How many of you are ready to invite Jesus? Maybe you don't know Jesus. You know, the first place that you need to invite Jesus is into your heart. If you haven't invited Jesus into your heart this morning and you need that, here's the formula. You ready? It's real complicated. Jesus, I invite you. Oh, it can't be that simple. Oh, yes, it is. It is. Jesus, I need you. If you say, Jesus, I need you, you're getting set up for some amazing things. Sometimes how you invite Jesus is you just say his name. It sounds like it's an exercise, but watch this. Just say Jesus. Go. Don't you look towards somebody when somebody says your name? Right? Connie. Oh, see, I don't need you. I just wanted to show you. See, I said, she was having a sanguine moment there. I said her name and she turned and looked at me so quick. Oh, he wants me. No, I just wanted to get your attention. Sometimes it's as simple as just going, Jesus. And he goes, yes. And you go, oh, I just wanted your attention for, you know, I just, if you call him, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is not just the beginning of salvation when you become a Christian. That's if you're in trouble and you need saved, if you're drowning in the water and you need to be saved, you call on the name of Jesus. I have one more word I have to say this. I got this earlier and I just need to tell him it's not for you. I'm pushing the muscle guy down a little bit so I get to you. I'm Mark. I don't know your name. What's your name? What is it? Fulton. Colton. Okay. I have a microphone in my hand. Is during worship, and I had this word and I had to give it to you now, that the Lord wants you to know that you have a unique anointing upon your life. It's a unique anointing for your generation. He's about to reveal some deep things. Oh, deep things in when I see you sitting in your room by yourself and you're reading the Bible, you're listening to worship music or something, and God's going to be downloading things into you. You have a very strong anointing of Jesus on your life. I don't call people in a ministry or anything like that usually, but you have a pastoral anointing on you to speak and to proclaim Jesus. You have a heart that's your greatest gift, and God's going to expand your heart with some new wine, and he's going to use you in a great way. You are a very smart person. There's been some things that have happened to you in the past, and all of that was that a miracle could happen. If remember what I said, if there's no problems, there would be no miracle. So get ready. I see you as a teacher, as being a mentor to even people your own age and even some people that are older, but God's going to use you. Get ready. Stay humble. Stay at the feet of Jesus. Invite Jesus, and he'll show up, and he's going to do amazing things. This isn't just for you, it's for your whole family. There's some stuff that God's going to use you for your whole family. He said, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places will be made plain. For the glory of the Lord shall be revealed in you and your family, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And I bless you and your family in Jesus' name. Can we celebrate them? Can we do this? Can we invite Jesus together? Now, this is what I'm going to do. And you don't have to take the invitation. I invite you to come down. I wasn't going to do this. I'm going to do it now. Can we come down if you're ready? We're not going to leave unless you come down. No, I'm kidding. Let's come down. There's lots of room. We don't have seats down here because we like to invite people to come down. Somebody say, invite Jesus. Look at somebody and say, invite Jesus this week. Tell him. Tell somebody. If you're able, you don't have to come. If you want, you can stay in your seat, but if you can come down. See, I just hoodwinked you guys into a big mass choir rehearsal for Easter, and you all have no excuse for not coming to choir on Wednesday for Easter. The men sing anyway, but you know. We do need some men and some youth. I want you to think of something that you need to invite Jesus into. Maybe it's a situation. Maybe it's for you. Do you know there's something called intercession? Say intercession. You know what that means? It's not for you. This is for somebody else. It could be for you. It could be for somebody else. Do you know somebody that needs a miracle? Do you know somebody that needs Jesus? You know, I understand a healing basket too, but look at that. Look at this. You know what does this basket say, Judy?
Salvation.
Salvation. Everybody say salvation. Look at this. Church should have as many people here as they had at the women's conference yesterday if all these people get saved and come to church. Say, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind.
Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Oh, dude, we're not just singing this morning. Say,
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
What happens when you invite Jesus? Ready?
Every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom.
Say it, big, say it.
I speak Jesus.
Your name
is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Invite him this morning. Say this, say.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Captive.
To every soul held captive by depression.
Say it, big, big, say it.
I speak Jesus.
Your name
is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows.
First thing when you wake up, say, Jesus, I invite you to my day. Be with me in every step, in every word, everything I do. Here's something that'll catch his attention every time. If you say, Jesus, I can't make it without you. Woo. Somebody say that, tell them, say, Jesus, I can't make it without you. If you tell them, I want to live in the hope and grace, the freedom that only you can provide. You want them to come in, say this to them. You have to get rid of your pride to say this one. You ready? Say, Jesus, I'm empty. Fill me. Some of you are getting filled with a new fresh wine of Jesus. Even right now, you just said that, not even just because I told you to say it. But something's happening.
Make your prayer this week. Say, Jesus, fill me to overflowing. If you do, I know for a fact that I will never run out of anything I have need of. So I invite you. Say, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear.
Over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
One more time, I just want to speak the name. Say,
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Over fear
and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus.
Standing close to you. Maybe get in groups 2, 3, 4. And pray with them just for a minute. Just find some folks. Pray with them just before we leave. Invite Jesus into their life. Invite Jesus. If there's something they need, pray for them. Bless somebody next to you. Don't be afraid to talk to somebody. Find somebody standing next to you. Let's take a minute.